Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back until I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show. They be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back until I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul, is you living? We all under attack, is you different? I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner. Gangs got their sights on him, on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like, how my appeals dead, they took the road. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back until I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back until I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma,
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstate for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed,
may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and I repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back until I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back until I never be the same though.
Alhamdulillah, bismillah, bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulullah, mubad. Welcome everyone again to Point of Impact podcast. That's why we're here today again on Sunday, this Sunday night, and we're doing our thing, you know what I'm saying, again, striving to bring enlightenment and consciousness and awareness to an issue that has thrived in America for so many years. And of course, we know the criminal justice system, which impacts, you know, everybody. And that's something we want to talk about today. And we were going to have a beautiful guest come on, Miss Anastasia of Seeking Serenity Program. Hopefully she'll join us next week. She wasn't feeling too well. And, you know, the weather out here in VA, you know, does this fluctuation of cold and warm, and people are really getting, you know, sick with the flu and things like that. So we wish everyone well. Most importantly, you know, take care of yourself and guard your health. All right. So my co-host will be joining us, Miss Queen Mother Krista Ellison, and my brother to the people, Hassan Shabazz. What's going on, people?
Good evening.
Hassan, you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here, brother. I'm here. Peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum to you, brother. And
thank you for the evening.
Brother, I'm so happy to be here tonight, man. It's a glorious day, as it should be every day, right? And we should look at it as such, man, to have an opportunity to do something different and better than what we did yesterday. Right.
Exactly.
So yeah, brother, I'm happy to be here.
And this being the month of Ramadan for all my believing brothers and sisters in Islam, you know, Ramadan Mubarak, and then you have a merciful
Ramadan Kareem.
Month of Ramadan. And no one understands that, you know, this is a very, very important broadcast. I just want people to realize that. But before we begin talking, I just want to speak to something. You know, a lot of people don't understand that in the prison system, there's no discrimination. When they penalize you as they would like to call offender, they call you offender, calling themselves being politically correct and labeling you. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that in the struggle of, especially in the struggle of Islam, but in the struggle in every prison that I've been in, you know what I'm saying, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, we all go through the same trivial consequences of, you know, hardship. Trust me when I tell you, there's no differential as far as treatment. You know, you see black men, white men all standing together to, you know, stand out against injustice in the system. You know what I'm saying? And that's something I would like to see perpetuated more in society. You know, even though you do have sometimes you run into racial gangs, of course, you know, Aryan Nation, Aryan Brotherhood, you know, different organizations that, you know, like Bloods and Crips and Vice Lords and so forth, Latin Kings, you know what I'm saying, who, you know, they strive for their nationality. But, you know, I personally, from my own experience, I've never seen biasness towards one race or the other. It's always been a level field when it came to the treatment, you know. And I just want people to be clear that. And in most prisons in the state of Virginia, blacks are the minority. I mean, excuse me, are the majority. You know, majority of the prisons in the state of Virginia that I've been into, you have a few, though, where you have a large majority of Caucasian men. But, you know, majority of the prisons are all, you know, the greater population is the black community. But, you know, I just want to get that out of the minds of people when you contemplate and you think about the treatment. You know, there's really, you know, everybody's an offender, everybody's a slave to the state. You know what I'm saying? And they treat you just like that. You know, so, you know, I just wanted to bring that to mind. So the question I want to ask to my co-host today is, what do you feel currently, like, what do you believe is the problem most impactful in the prison system? What's the current prison system, what do you believe is the problem? Mother Queen, you want to answer that first?
The number one problem is accountability. I feel like no one wants to be accountable for their role in the model that they created to facilitate incarcerated men.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't follow your own model, and you can look up the model online of what they're saying that they offer and what they're saying that they'll give you, but then when the money comes in and the funding comes in, who's pocketing the money, because the money is not being used as it says in the model. So someone needs to be accountable for how and who holds them accountable for who oversees the prison. To say that they are correctly managing the money that they're given.
Wow.
Our tax dollars.
Yeah.
So it all boils down to accountability. Two, when you hire and you trained, what is the proper training protocol, and who oversees the people who are being trained to govern the prisoners or the incarcerated citizens? Because these men are still citizens. Men and women are still citizens, and they will be released one day. So how, like I asked the question last week, how do you want them to come home?
Right. That was a very good question. I love that.
And the third and third of all, when it comes to medical, we all know we got a zip code. We all know we have a billing ID code. Everything is ran by code. So if you have generic, just a Medicaid, know that you're going to get the lesser treatment. That's for people inside and outside. Just know that you're gonna you're not gonna get the quality of care that you would get if you was paying for top insurance, you know, or if or by your zip code. Just like the meat and the food is governed by your zip code. People in certain communities does not get fresh farmers market quality food inside and outside of prison. So I think accountability across the board is what I would target. Who do we need to hold accountable?
Yeah, and you're so correct, because there's a great deal of food deserts, like here in where I am in certain places of Virginia. Like if you go into Norfolk or you go into certain places in Virginia Beach, like you'll see certain neighborhoods have quality produce and, you know, things like that. Where you go into minority neighborhoods, you know, you see these little mom and pop stores, 7-Elevens, you know what I'm saying, instead of,
so a private
know,
so a private funding prison, what quality of care and meat or food do you think they're going to give a private prison?
Let me just remind, before we go any further, let me just remind anyone listening, if you would like to comment in a positive way or add on to the conversation in a positive way, please feel free to do so by pressing 1. We would love to hear your comments and, you know, anything that you would like to add on to the conversation, okay? Brother Hassan, like, what do you believe is the current issue and problems in the prison system today?
Well, you know, I can really truly second that motion from Krista, really, because when you talk about accountability, you know, this is one of the main reasons why we say that one of the main things that need to be done when it comes to prisons and just about every other aspect of the judiciary and the judicial system, right, because prison is a part of the judicial system. I believe that when it comes to that, you need oversight, right? And we need an independent committee on oversight to look at those things. Like when you're talking about food out here in society and certain places that we classify as food deserts, right? We call them food deserts because in that particular proximity, there's not fresh produce. There's not a grocery store.
Right.
There's not anywhere for them to be able to get food. Well, what I'm going to tell people, this prison is a permanent food desert. See, prison is a permanent food desert. It always has been. Because when you have incarcerated citizens and then they go to prison, right, and they classify them in terms of slavery, right, involuntary servitude, and then what we say, debt peonage, right? Right, bro?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Debt peonage, right? When it comes to that,
that's right.
And they say that we owe a debt to society, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to that and we owe a debt to society, would they look at us as truly, you know, we fall into the category of inside prison is like a third world country. That's what prison is. Prison is a third world country, and this is the reason why they can give us food in a fashion of meat rock that's not supposed to be served to any human being. It's for institutional use only, and it's supposed to be used to feed animals. That's what it's supposed to. That's right. The institution that it go to.
That's
the
right.
Institution that house animals like zoos and stuff like that. That's where
right.
that meat rock's supposed to go to. It's not supposed to go to
right.
prison. But it comes
right.
to prison.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so then we served all this food. Then we developed prostate cancer, colon cancer, rectal cancer. Right? And liver, gallbladder.
Mm-hmm.
I done known guys
mm-hmm.
that die from all those things.
That's right.
Heart disease, everything
mm-hmm.
inside of prison.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Watch a dude die right on the rec field. Just fall
mm-hmm.
over and die. Because
right.
he ain't had the proper care. He's not had the proper food. He ain't had the proper mental health. He ain't had the proper nothing. He just existing there until he go home, and then he probably go home worse than when he went in.
Exactly. Mm.
That's the reality.
Come on, bro. And for those people who are not familiar with debt peonage, debt peonage was a system of slavery induced after the Shanto slavery, which was supposed to be emancipated back in 1863. And then, of course, they had the neo-slavery. And the neo-slavery was a time where people, though they were free, they remained on the plantation because they had nowhere to go. They had no, you know, they had no type of property. They had no education. So where could they go? You know, and then so from that, they created debt peonage. And the system of debt peonage is actually still alive today, though it was supposed to be abolished in 1943 by President Roosevelt. But when you look at the language and the acceleration of prison systems and the supervision that is now circulated throughout the United States, where, you know, you can see that the major, I think it's like, out of every 30, I think it's 33 African Americans. I think it's like somewhere between 12 to 15 of them are on some form of supervision. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, the redemption is never paid. It's like you constantly are placed under supervision to where you're paying back restitution. Then you're under supervision. You can't get jobs to where, you know, you're penalized for jobs that you may be seeking and you're qualified for years and years after you committed your crime. And these are the things that, you know, this is what is talked to when you hear the term debt peonage. Okay, and the word peon comes from a Mexican. It's actually peonage comes from the word peon, which is Mexican language or, you know, dialogue. And so people really need to conscious themselves about this term debt peonage and understanding what is actually being implemented in modern day slavery, not just in the prison system but outside of the prison system. So. Now,
mm-hmm.
both of you just brought up a very beautiful point, accountability. And I think that accountability, and as you just spoke, I found about a watchdog panel or something. I personally believe that needs to be established in the judicial system to where you can stop the disparity of sentencing by judges and prosecutors who over-criminalize and compound certain crimes in order to incarcerate people to, you know, outrageous numbers and
mm-hmm.
sentencing. So, you know, but do you believe, now I want to ask you the question, so do you believe that the statistics are rightfully said when it talks about the criminal element of the African-American community? And, you know, do you believe that the criminalization is something that is statistic-wise is correct? Mother Queen, do you want to answer that?
Oh, yeah. She may be busy.
She may be busy, yeah.
She may have had a step. Yeah, well, sure, I speak to it. You know, they say all the time, right, that, you know, they say all the time that men lie, women lie, but numbers don't, right? Now, it depends on who putting in the numbers. See, the key is that you can't just look to the statistic. You have to look to how they actually calculate that, how they implement it, how they put it into effect. And we don't always take everything into consideration. Like, for instance, when it comes to whites in the system and in the DOC, when it comes to whites, also included with whites are all Hispanics. All Hispanics are labeled as white in the system. When you look at a Hispanic's ID card inside a prison, it'll look on, you look on the back and it will say white. It will not say Hispanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means that when they talk about certain statistics as it pertains to how many of us are incarcerated, especially in the Virginia system, when it talks about brown and black bodies that are incarcerated, right? Those brown bodies are not accounted for within that census. The reason why is because they classify them as white. Now, I asked one of the Spanish dudes, I said, yo, John, always been white on your ID? He said, yeah, it's been white since I came in.
Right.
Since I came in. Now, I think that and I may be mistaken to a certain degree, but I do believe that at one particular point in time when Puerto Rico became a U.S. territory, they was allowing Puerto Ricans to come into the United States of America, and they were classifying themselves as white. Right? They were classifying themselves as white. So when it comes down to certain numbers, it can be warped based upon the system that they have in place to be able to account for the amount of people that they have in prison. Now, statistically wise, when it comes down to those who would claim to be African-American or those who are so-called American Negro in this country, I believe that the numbers are, you know, I believe that the numbers, even if they're not spot on, it's somewhere around the terms of us being about 1.2 million in prison all across this country, right? And so if we're talking about the statistics, America has the largest prison population, right? The largest prison population on the planet in comparison to other places that got billions of people like China. China got billions of people. And they don't have anywhere near the amount of people in prison that America does. That says something about the society, right?
Right.
It says something about the society that we live in. Now, when it comes down to the other statistics, the statistics I'm talking about when they say that the amount of us that leave out of prison and then come back into prison, right? The recidivism rate.
Right.
And
they say it's a 43% chance. Yeah. 53% of 2 years.
And let me ask you, Virginia boasts that they have one of the lowest recidivism rates in the country, right?
That's what they boast.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Now, okay, granted, you might have that. As it pertains to the amount of people that you're releasing, and then the amount of people that you're releasing that didn't spend decades in prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the amount of people that you have going through that revolving door. It says something about the men inside of prison and not the reentry programs that they say that they claim to lay claim to as it pertains to the recidivism rate. This is based upon brothers such as yourself, Malai, right? Brothers such as Nadir Abdul-Salam, brothers such as Kevin Dickerson, brothers such as OJ, right? Brothers such as Oscari Danso Lumumba, Sekonde Matthews, who we hope to be calling in to the program soon. But it's brothers like that proceed to do that work, right? Absolute. Brother Anthony Wynn, also down there at Dillon. It's brothers out there that's really doing good work in the system. And those men do not get the credit that they deserve. when it comes down to the recidivism rates, because they the one that's rebuilding the men. Believe this, it's not the programs that the DOC got in place.
Oh, I can tell
it's
you.
It's not that.
I can tell you factually. I can tell you factually from my own experience, you know, it is brothers as such men as Yahya Ibn Wayne, Basir, Talib, who is at Lawrenceville. You know, these are brothers. And I'm going to just say, there's so many men that we can go down the line mentioning right now that are in prison, conditioning and helping to recultivate and re-educate men to come back out and be successful with programs that they themselves are developing and designing in the prison system. And, you know, that's really key to what you're talking about, because to the regular citizen who has who's really not cognitive of what's going on in the prison system, they would believe under this illusion that prisons are geared towards trying to refine those who want to be refined. And that's not really necessarily the case. Now, don't get me wrong, there are programs in prisons in certain states around the United States, certain pockets that have good programs, like Connecticut has a few good programs. State of New York has a few good programs. New Jersey has a few good programs. And even Virginia has a few good programs. But as Krista was just saying, you know, the money is pocketed. So the actual resources that the program can provide is not being adequately put into the program. So therefore, you know, these gentlemen that we're talking about who work to help recondition the situation of these men, they create and develop their own programs. Like we had like my brother Locke, who's presently incarcerated. He has Changing Gears. And we had the brother Sakeem. The team had a wonderful program, Sanity. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Sanity was a very, very strong program that, you know what I'm saying, helped a lot of brothers, man, stand up as men and recognize, you know, their responsibility as fathers and owning up to their, you know, their fault in not being fathers to their children. And that was an excellent program. So, you know, it is these things that, you know, we need to really know about. And so can you build more on that, Hassan?
Yeah. Obviously, man, we had an opportunity while I was in prison, right, when I was at Augusta, to create our own self-governing community there. And this place was like a Zion inside of the Matrix, right? Where when you come into this place, you come in there, you see plants hanging from the ceiling. You see murals on the wall. We had our own logo on the ground, which was a tree that was developed by Infinite Allah. There was a tree there, and that tree had apples on it. And each apple was one of the programs that we had created then to facilitate to our peers while we were inside. And so there were a multitude of programs like Life and Business Planning Lab with Wise, Allah King Wise, and ICANN, Investing in Community Action Networking, where we developed our own civic engagement program, right? And have guys civically engaged their senators, their congressmen, their delegates while they were still incarcerated. And then we had the Eiffel Tower Workshop, which I developed for over 14 years of study of the stock market, and it was the Investment for Life Economics Tower. And I would teach guys how to trade options and how to trade stock on the stock market. And then we had coordination, and we had communication and family reunification and a multitude of other programs. Man, I can't tell you, sign language, Spanish, Plaza de Español, which I helped to facilitate there. And brother, For six years, we were able to out of 3,000 charges on the compound, our part had 30 in a year. Out of 3,000 charges on the compound, our pod only had 30 in a year. And this spoke to every aspect of the program that was incentivized through things like the people don't even know about this, man, the Xbox and Xbox tournaments and games that we had inside of prison. Over 40 different DVDs in the learning center.
Hold your thought, brother. Hold your thought. The brother, the producer, Jason, had to call in. Yeah, he had to call in somebody. Okay. No, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, well, up there we had the incentivized 40 disc learning center DVDs where you can learn about a multitude of things that you wanted to on your own. And you got incentive tickets by going to class, and you could spend them at the learning center to learn whatever it is that you wanted, man. And you could sit there and look at backhoe, electrical wiring, all types of stuff that was up there. And we did this for 6 years. And for 6 years, we were very, very successful. But the problem was, was that the Department of Correction always wants to put their hand in a way where when they control it, it gets messed up.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
And that happens because they don't want to relinquish power and control over to the prisoner. They don't they don't want to give it to us, the type of power and control that's needed to develop the men in a way that society will be happy with the product and their investment through tax paying that they deserve, right? They will be happy. They will be happy with the men that we turn out. But because of that particular reason, one of those reasons is the DOC have a primitive, punitive, overall mind state that has to be uprooted in order for any of this to happen. So Malai, you know what we would do? We would actually be there to orientate the new officers into our community. When they came to our community, this is how it is. This is what's going on. This is why we're doing this. And we're pushing our men through a term that we call social reproduction, right? So that the whole community develops the individual as the community itself develops.
Yeah.
And that was a beautiful experience, and we would love to reproduce that. But they know that. They know about this. I talked to Harold Clark on the floor. I talked to David Robinson on the floor of this program. I talked to senators and congressmen on the floor, Malai. So they know about it.
They know the potential and the ability. But see, bro, that's the thing. And once I make the statement, we're going to see if someone is calling in. But this is the thing I try to get people to understand. This diabolical machine that they have created, you know, its scheme is exactly to produce what it produces. And see, we have to get out of this mind state that, you know, it's broken. In the term of how we visualize it, we know it as being broken. But in the terms of what it was created to do, in the diabolical scheme of the continual system and cycle of slavery, it's not broken. And so we have to stop the constant rhetoric of, you know what I'm saying, shunning statements like school to prison pipeline. You know, we have to understand that these things are implemented and these occurrences are not things that are, you know, being named or titled to offend teachers or to offend administrative people who work to try to, you know, bring about benefit to children. No, these terms are actually pointed towards the diabolical schemes that these people put in place because, you know, I was listening to a lady today talk to the council. I mean, I believe she was speaking to the Senate. I was listening on one of those social network I think it was what's the joint? TikTok. And the sister was talking about, you know, if you really want to help children, why don't you create Medicaid for children? Why don't you create, you know, things that, why should a child have to get Medicaid through their mother? You understand? Or their father? Like, if you really want to help these orphans and these kids that are in the streets, why aren't you, you know, creating programs that send them through an educational system that implores them to get a college education without having to be in debt? You understand what I'm saying? See, these are the things that, and then you strip the parents, of having the right to guide their children. You understand what I'm saying? In a corrective way of living, you know? And these are the things that, you know, people don't really understand, and it really makes me a little angry sometimes when people get upset, you know, to understand that this system is working just exactly as it's been schemed up to work.
Right.
And that's to incarcerate the poor, the minority, and these people who they look at as second class citizens. You know, and we just really need to go ahead, Chris.
I most definitely wanted to say real quickly that when you talked about the prison pipeline, I was in a meeting with the school board with a doctor who taught at a college, two doctors who teach at area colleges. I didn't want to say because it was a meeting that we were putting together some plans for the future. But so I don't want to put them out there just yet. But the conversation was, when they enroll students into school and the SAT testing and the testing that they do, if they score below a certain amount, that money that they collect as students, then they kick those students that are 20 or 18 and kick them out of school after collecting the money from them and tell them that they're no longer qualified to stay in school. And then they have to go to alternative school. So after they get their money. But then when you're testing the babies under a certain age and they test art scores are low, they're already deemed to go to prison.
To go to prison, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Good point.
Let's before we begin, beloved, let's see. Do we have anyone calling in? And please be mindful. Let's be considerate to other people who are trying to call in, everyone. Do we have any callers?
Yeah, good evening. How you doing?
All right. This got to be my brother. I know that voice. It's Miles.
Just Miles.
Yo,
hey,
Miles.
What's up, brother? Peace.
Hey,
Miles. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. See, one thing about the prisons is that's why there's so many privately owned prisons. Because like the lady said, it's all about money. And prisoners make them money. And like these programs they're doing in prisons. And when you get out of prison, these programs is not in your neighborhood because all of a sudden they said it's a budget cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then brothers end up out
That's
there
right.
doing something else to get back into prison. And like the lady just said a few minutes ago, they've been doing that for years, checking kids' test scores and all that, knowing these guys are going to end up in jail.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing that for years. And like you said, bro, you're right. What I worry about in prison, when them brothers, like them young brothers do end up in prison, they run into them brothers that's already in there doing a long lifetime and long term.
Yeah.
What is they teaching these brothers? You know, you're going to be out in a year or two. I want you to do this. You know, is they trying to help them get better or they just trying to tell them, look, man, the system don't care about you, man. You need to keep doing what you're doing. We got to look at that, too.
Especially
the brothers in the gangs.
Yeah, hey, but you know what, Brother Myers, I talked to Brother Miles, peace too, man. This is how it's on, brother.
How you doing, my
you
brother?
Know, look, man, you know I'm doing wonderful, brother, and it's wonderful to have you call in to the show as well, man. Always. It's always a pleasure to have you, right? And your questions are always on point. And so to this one, I will say this. I talked to a brother today. By the name of Nadir Abdul Salam, right, who has been in prison for many, many moons. I think Nadir has done like 27 years, and he still has time to go. But what Nadir has found peace in is the fact that he feels like he, him being there, he can be of a service to the young men that are still there. Because in all honesty, right, there are not many brothers that are willing to give what's necessary to rebuild these men up in there. Right?
Exactly.
And so when you have brothers like that, these brothers are like rare pieces. And it's almost like if we pull those brothers out of the system would
then
just
what
go
happened?
Crazy.
It just it'd go crazy.
It would just go crazy. And so, but that's a problem there, right? Because the system is expecting the guys who are there to keep the order, right? But then you don't want to let this man go when he's showing you that he deserves an opportunity, a second chance at life to be free,
mm-hmm.
right? To be free. And so you don't give that to him. What you do is you use him as a tool, right, to keep the system at least calm, tranquil. See, when they took that good time from them guys, I was still in prison. And I watched the warden, the psychologist, and the treatment program supervisor to come through on in the prison on a Saturday to tell them guys that they were losing that good time. Now, why they bring the psychologist with them? They brought the psychologist with them.
That's the thing about it. They don't want them brothers to get knowledge. They don't want them to go there. They want to keep
them. And you know,
They
want their mind to stay on a lockdown system. This is who you are. This is what you will always be. You'll never be anything but this. That's what they want to keep.
Pardon me, but yesterday we met with a wonderful sister by the name of LaTaurus Campbell, and she was telling us about her brother who was incarcerated in the Richmond jail. And one of the things that she spoke of that her brother was you know, very concerned because in the jail he was stating on how the inmates, you know what I'm saying, they have total control of chaos. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, the one thing you got to understand, though, like what I try to get people to realize is that when you've been raised to be a gorilla,
mm-hmm.
you don't know nothing but to be a gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's hard for these brothers, you know, who and I speak to the reality of it because I myself had to grow to a certain level to realize, you know, that I needed to change, you know, my life. And that, as my brother Azim Majid always would say, change only comes about through change. But, you know, a lot of times we're expecting as if someone owes us something, you know. And a lot of these men and young men, they go into prison and, you know, they feeling like the only thing they can do is do what they always known to do. And that's to be, you know, gorillas. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So that's what it is, you know. And with that, I want to just take the time right now just to try to get another caller in, okay, Brother Miles? And thank you so much for always joining us and supporting us. Jay Shaw, you got another caller?
Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to listen to your podcast tonight.
Yeah. Good evening.
Who's calling? Who's calling in?
My name is Lisa.
I know that voice.
I'm Jay Sean's sister.
Okay. And what's your name?
Wow.
This is my second time. It's my second time.
What's your name? I didn't get your name. Say your name again.
Lisa.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good evening, Miss Lisa. How you doing, sister?
All right, and you?
Fine.
I know it's not much time, but I wanted to bring up a point about we're living in 2023. I want to know why when men get released from prison that they don't have something in place to help them. Like, as soon as you get out, you have to go to, like, a drug program. You have to go to, like, a psychiatrist, and you might have to go to a group. Because I've been through it with gentlemen that was, you know, let out of prison. So I kind of know, you know, what they go through. But I feel that now the time we're living in, they got to start getting more powerful what they want you to do to help you when you truly enter into society. Because I know a lot of guys that, you know, maybe, you know, have, you know, killed someone, and then they get out and they can't find a job because they have a record. That should not hold people now in 2023. We have so many people that comes over here from other countries not knowing what they have committed in their country, but yet because in the United States, we make each other suffer for what we did. I know a gentleman that had killed someone, and I tried to get him on my job, get hired, you know, offer, you know, me working there for many years, but they wouldn't hire him because of the crime he committed, which that crime had nothing to do with that job, you know what I mean? But I think it's just sad that they always talk about black men don't want to do nothing, can't do nothing, don't want to be anything. But yet we have men that come out, and like when you first come out, they really hype and they want to really do something in society with themselves, and then they get knocked down a couple of times, and then they just fall back on their old life. And I just feel very sorry that, you know, we all go, you know, fall down, you know, like the song say.
Yeah.
But, you know, keep getting up, you know what I mean? Because even people that don't serve time, we fall down too, but we have to keep getting up, you know what I mean?
Tell me about it.
I just feel for brothers because it is, like people keep saying, there's not a lot of men out there for black women. But we love our men, and we even love the ones that's incarcerated, but we just wish that society would make it better for them for to make it better for us. You know what I mean? We're showing them love and support, but then society's not showing, you know, that they're a man and that they need to take care of the woman and the children that they have out here. I just wish that things could turn around a little bit more, and they have really good people out here that has them in programs that really truly want to fight to get these brothers in spots. Because other nationalities, they do the same crime, and their family give them a job. Or somebody that they know got a job, and they get a job, and they live good. We don't have that luxury, and it's very sad, but I just wish that things could turn over. That's basically what I had to say this evening.
Okay.
That's why they built the system that way. That's why the system is built, is not built for us. And they did that.
Yeah.
They did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Of course. But see, we got to find a way
to get out of that. Like you said before, my brother, all them brothers in prison, they have the power.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's
the
whole thing. That's the thing. Like I want people to, what I want everybody to understand is this. No one understands that there are brothers really working hard to empower brothers to come out and be successful. There are.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many, many men who are in prison, many, many sisters who are in prison helping others to, you know, come out and be productive people. You know, we always hear the downside, you know what I'm saying? And we always get to look at the downside. But, you know, as Hassan was speaking, you know, there are so many brothers who we can just go down a roll call list that, you know, it's amazing of the work that they're doing in the prison system. And what we would like to see is the institutions, you know, assist them and not try to, you know, impede them and allow in these programs that they have developed. And if we can get more assistance to aiding these brothers who have developed these programs in the system, this is where the attachment to leadership starts to engage the brothers. And then, you know, they want to walk and change their life because they realize that they don't have to stay stuck in that hole. They don't have to stay stuck in that gang mentality, that drug mentality. You understand? But when they, you know, as Sister Lisa was just speaking, you know, the discouragement doesn't just begin when they come home. It begins while they're in there. You know what I'm saying? It begins while they're in there. So we got Sister Latoya on hold. Sister Latoya, you want to punch in?
Yes, all is well. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Great conversation.
Hey, sis. How you doing, sis?
All is well.
Hello.
brothers. Hello, Miss Crystal, Brother Hassan, Brother Milan.
Hey. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, how you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
Don't forget Brother Miles.
Miles, how are you? I've been listening to this from the beginning. Miles, do something else. We are powerful, strong brothers and sisters, no matter what they say. We can
overcome.
We can show them and prove to them what we are capable of doing. So let's continue on doing that and lifting each other one, and continue lifting each other up. And let's make it. Yes, yes, yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question for my brothers about what he was saying about the system. What can we do to make this system, get involved? Because, they're always making excuses.
When the brothers in prison, when they're trying to get these systems to
help them, and these systems start backing down, what can we do on the outside?
On the
outside to help make them look. Y'all need to do this because these brothers are looking for help.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's very important, right? Because right now the 40 Strong is putting together a political action rally, but they're moving to strive to push. One of our own, who's by the name of Richard Walker, who's formerly incarcerated, but who's now running for the 79th District delegacy here in Richmond. And the reason why he's being pushed and we're pushing him in that way is because not only do we need our presence down there on the floor at the General Assembly, but also Richard has a passion the same way that we do. And he's exemplified that through the solar panel training and other things that he provides for guys when they come home through Bridging the Gap, which is his nonprofit. And he's been doing this for a while now. And so we have to get politically involved. This is something that has to be done that can be effective on the outside through the building of legislation. So we want to put our own in there so that when we propose legislation, that we can have one of our own to push that legislation, right? And we are going to be the ones who are crafting the bills.
Right.
I'm going to be in there crafting the bill, along with Malai and many other brothers and sisters who are concerned and very knowledgeable on the subject. And so
to add on to that, like, I have been placed and voted in as the criminal justice chairperson of the criminal justice committee for the Norfolk branch here, 7098. And what we are doing is pushing for legislation. We're pushing for legislation, and me, Hassan, and Krista, and the president, Stacey Armstead, the vice president, first vice president, Mr. Harvey Waters, second vice president, Mr. Vincent Hodges, a young man by the name of Dominic Moody, a brother by the name of Lamont Walks Umar. We are coming together now. We're striving to put together legislation that will start impacting before brothers and sisters get to prison. So we're trying to put legislation in that will create a panel, a watchdog panel that will start to hold judges and prosecutors accountable for, in penalization for over-criminalization of minute crimes and sending brothers and sisters into prison with long-term sentences that produce nothing but harm and no benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the thing that we're trying to do right now. So what it is that when these petitions come out, and, we need the help.
Please, mute your phone if you're not speaking, please.
Yeah, that's me out here. I got a little poodle going crazy.
Oh, go ahead.
he agreeing what you're saying.
What we need to do is step up and like these type of when we come around with these petitions to get people to register and sign their names, we have to step up and sign these petitions so that when these things are being implemented. They show that the society and the community support these type of legislation. You know what I'm saying? And we got to stop closing the door. when these brothers and sisters like Hassan is, you know, going around and they were canvassing the area today for the brother Richard Walker. When you know when they were going around for Brother Walker today, you know, people got to stop acting like they ain't at home. They got to stop acting like they're, you know, closing the door. They got to stop acting like everybody, you know, he's just going to do the same thing that the next one do. You know, go ahead, Sister Krista. You know,
let me just say this. You know, it's like an empty tool belt, right? If you don't know, if you don't have the proper tools to equip ourselves, then you don't, you wouldn't know how to build. You don't have no tools. You can't build anything. So we have to, each one of us, I feel like, should be a mentor to the next person and challenge that person to be a mentor to the next person.
Because one thing you could, like, because you could get the community to, like, really back this up, that could bring a lot of power to this. Especially the community up, like, hey, we want this too. Because, you know, we all know prison is the new slave trade.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, of course.
But, you know,
I always look at it like this, you know, when slavery was abolished, supposedly abolished, then they had brought in the circus, and then they was lying to the free slaves and saying, oh, we can join the circus now, da 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 da. And then when they recaptured them and brought them back to the South.
You know, like I said, that circus statement you just made, that's the same thing they said about the elephant. When they got the elephant with the chain on his leg and attached to the pit in the ground, and when he walked up, that's the furthest he could go, but the elephant could pull anything out of the ground. But he felt that's the furthest he could go. Even when you take that chain off, they think they can't go no further. And that's what they want them brothers and women to feel like. This is the furthest he could go.
And that is so true. And thank you for that analogy, brother
Miles.
Miles, that was a great analogy, brother Miles.
Yeah, I get that blessing, guys.
Yes, it's so many people we have on the call sometimes. You know, I'm an old guy. My name gets buzzed up in my head. But this has been a wonderful show tonight, and the topic has really been really good, as always. I just have to say that, you know, I thank God. I thank Allah for the audience. And most importantly, I thank Allah for the opportunity to even have this platform to speak to these things, because I personally was impacted. Now, I want to say something before we close. Sister Lisa spoke on something that was that touched me personally. You know, I'm struggling out here. A lot of people, they see me, I'm involved in so many committees and programs and things, and they think, you know, oh, that brother doing well out there. You know, but the struggle is real for everybody. So don't just, you know, don't think that you are alone in the struggles and the hardships that you're going through. I'm struggling with paying my car note. I'm struggling with paying my rent for my family. You know what I'm saying? I'm struggling with feeding my family and clothing and sheltering my family. You know, I'm struggling with meeting medical bills for my family. You know what I'm saying? Protecting my children, you know, from going into prison and things like that. You know, we all are meeting with the same struggles. So I don't want people to feel like they're alone, you know, because I felt that way a few times. You know what I'm saying? Feeling like, man, this is happening to me, but you know, it's happening to a lot of people on a lot of different levels and scales of life. And so we just have to be, you know, supportive of one another. And that is something that we need to bring Black into the community, supporting one another, getting out aid in them. You know, I was driving today and I was going on a walk exercise, and I seen an older woman fall. And she busted her face on the ground. Do you know, she fell in an intersection on the street where the cars were coming to. And the lights were red. Do you know, no one from them four intersections got out of their car to see if this elderly woman was okay. I was five cars back, jumped out the car to try to get to her, but she got up and started walking away. And then I I drove up to her like about 3 or 4 blocks later. And, you know, she lost her tooth. But I'm just saying that to say we are such a desensitized society today. You know what I'm saying? And you feel like, oh, well, that ain't me, so I don't have to concern myself. Trust me, you ain't but a thin line away from that same condition. And, you know, I always say to people, as a messenger of Allah, may Allah's praise citation be upon you, say, treat people the way that you want to be treated. So, you know, when you're sitting down and you're complaining and you're angry about what's going on, you understand? Get involved and find the right way to get involved to bring about a benefit. Not only for you, but the next man, your neighbor. The next man. You see, and that's what's most important, and that's what we have to stop doing. And I just hope everyone benefits from the show. I'm grateful for all the benefits that I... Huh? What'd you say, Krista? Okay. I hope that everyone benefits from the show. And I'm just so grateful to be in this platform with such lovely, strong people. Brother Miles, I thank you so much for calling in and supporting us. Sister Latoya, thank you so much for always calling in and supporting us. And, of course, I want to thank Sister Lisa for calling in. That's Jay John's sister. I don't believe I ever met her, but she's my sister, too. So, you know... thank you for calling in. Everybody just, you know, continue to work hard, continue to be a part of the struggle. And together, we can bring about change. Okay? Together, we can bring about change.
Yes, sir.
With that, we're going to go ahead and close up the show tonight. Mother Queen, you want to say some final words to our audience?
The final question I would have is, are you a slave or are you free? And if you say you're free, explain how you feel that you're free. And if you say you're a slave, what makes you feel like you're a slave? So those are the questions I think we should start thinking about. Are we really free or are we still slaves? And I pose that question to the next person so we can get everybody on the same page of thinking and outside of the box thinking so we can invest more in ourselves and in each other.
Wonderful.
Oh, wow.
Brother Hassan,
any
final words?
Man, that's a deep question.
Like yes, it is.
Listen, no, that's a deep question because what I want to say to everybody, the quote that I want to say, right, is that the mind is a terrible master but a wonderful slave. And I think that if we look a little bit into that, right, we find exactly what Chris is talking about right there, right? The mind is a terrible master, but a wonderful slave. And I'm going to leave y'all with that tonight. Peace.
Hold on. Let me get my dictionary for these big words y'all using.
We got to go. I thank everyone for calling in today. And just remember, everyone, I just want to say this to everyone. And, before I go, I want to just say, can everyone please, my wife, Tina, in prayer and ask God to sustain and provide for us as a family and to strengthen her.
Yes, sir.
And through our struggles. I mean, and I just want to say this to everyone.
I mean.
Please, just stop what you're doing right now. Just stop and do something that's going to benefit you in this life and the hereafter, and that will benefit your family and that will benefit your community, your locality. And with
Amen.
That, we're going to get out of here. Amen. Jason, you want anything you
yep.
want to say? Besides another great show.
Actually, I do. I wanted to say that my sister, she got a podcast too on Thursday nights at 8:00. It's the same phone number.
Okay.
And
okay.
Everybody, y'all be safe in Virginia because I've been hearing a lot of things going on in Virginia and Norfolk and all that with the police and things. I know y'all heard about it already. I guess the shooting and stuff down there in Virginia.
Yeah, they don't want to hear the truth. Why they acting up?
Yeah, with the police brutality. So everybody just be safe, and you know, another good show, man. Peace.
And I thank you again. Everyone have a safe night. Join us again next week. Next week, that's right. Join us again next week. I believe that'll be the first weekend of April, which will be April the 2nd. Join us Sunday night, 7 p.m., Point of Impact. And if you have anything positive, anything, any comments, please join us. Press 1. Come on in and join us. We'd love to have you. And if there's anything that we can do for you, just come on the show. Let us know who you are. Leave our producer with your name and information. We'll contact you, and we will definitely see how we can support you, AG, and assist you in any way. Okay?
Hey, can I say something to the lady who was on here? I forgot her name, not Lisa, the other one.
Ms. Montoya?
Kristen.
No, the young lady who was speaking.
The host. The host.
Not Lisa, not Latoya.
Krista.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, keep up the good work, sister. You got a strong mind there. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. That's right. That's the mother queen. She run everything. Trust me.
All right.
That's right.
Everything. Don't let them take your crown from you, babe.
Oh, good.
She definitely ain't going to do that.
That ain't going to happen.
Sojourner ain't got nothing on Chris Ellison.
Yo, my man, your show, man, you be bringing some powerful people on your show, man, and God bless you with that, too, man.
Yeah,
thank you, Miles. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And with that, man, we're going to go in and on Miles' beautiful, inspirational word. And I thank you. All praise and thanks belong to Allah. Good night, everyone. Be safe.
As-salamu alaykum.
Have a wonderful one. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Get a shot of one. So I remember all the past lessons that you learned from. Oh. A 90-day rule, but we rushed it too. In 2 months, we sent a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and stay stable when nature throws us a curve, but love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie and lover, homie, lover, friend. Yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running. Oh. To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. Yeah, when there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. Whoa. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you, I wanna see you. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.